It is great to be back. We had a wonderful time down in South Florida with family, visiting with my son for Father's Day and my birthday on Sunday. Every 7 years, it hits that it's the same day. I got double gifts. Just being with them was gift enough. Well, you know, the family is just beyond, well, anyhow. In today's Holy Gospel reading, Jesus had returned to the western side of the lake, which was home base. He had been on the eastern side, the Gentile side. Well, being back on the eastern side, rather on the Jewish side of the lake, he's met by one of the leaders of the local synagogue. This man named Jairus comes to Jesus and begs him to come with him. He's falling at Jesus' feet, pleading. Now, in verse 23 of today's Holy Gospel, he says, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." The very compassionate Jesus went with him. Jairus wants his daughter to live, and so he humbles himself, begging Jesus to come with him. Now, imagine the faith of this Jewish leader, getting on his knees and saying without a shadow of a doubt in his heart, in his mind, and in his voice, "If you lay your hands on her, she will live. She'll be healed, and she's going to live." It took a lot of courage for him to do this, possibly right in front of his congregants. Can you imagine what they might have said? Here he was, going before Jesus, begging him to come and save his little daughter. While Jesus was on his way to see this little girl, a woman who has serious bleeding issue for 12 years came to Jesus. Now you might be saying, that's not in today's Holy Gospel. Well, today's Holy Gospel has a comma in between certain verses. And that means that in our lectionary, it was someone's choice to just stay with the story of Jairus and his daughter. And that's okay. But I'll share with you some of the high points of what happened with this woman. She was considered unclean. She was bleeding for 12 years. Ladies, that's not a very nice thing to be going on. And she knew that if she touched Jesus, she would make him unclean as well, according to the law of Moses. When she does touch Jesus, he immediately feels the power go out from him. And he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" That's in Mark chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus healed her. But I've got to tell you, this is a sermon for another day. When Jesus left this woman completely healed, he headed towards Jairus' house. And some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. Can you imagine getting closer to home and having someone come and tell you that your daughter is dead? Jesus has, up to this point in his life, exhibited miraculous powers over demons, over sickness, over physical disabilities, the forces of nature. And now he's about to take head-on death. Jesus is about to give Jairus the hint that all will be well because of his great faith in coming to Jesus in the first place. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, but just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Jesus and his inner circle of those three apostles who went many places with him, including the Mount of Transfiguration, went to the home of Jairus, and when they got there, they found despair. But Jesus was totally confident and in control, knowing exactly what was ahead for the girl and her family. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? Child's not dead, but asleep." You'd think that they might find hope in Jesus' words. After all, it was Jairus who came to Jesus in the first place. believing that all he had to do was touch her and she would live. All the family and people present laughed at Jesus. Can you imagine the emotion and tension that must have been in that room? Well, after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were there with him and went in to where the child was. Last week, Deacon Bob preached about Jesus' mastering nature as he calmed the storm with just a word. Well, Jesus is the master of everything and would now be taking on the greatest physical roadblock known to all humanity, death. It would be one of three times in the gospel readings that Jesus would bring someone back from the dead. Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow from Nain, and of course his friend Lazarus. Three people, a very spiritual number. 3 days in the tomb, three persons in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, leading to the greatest restoration of the life of all. Jesus' own resurrection from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion. Now, verse 41 says, he took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. You can just imagine the expressions on the faces of the mother and father and of the three apostles who were there in that room. Well, the next verse says, immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and they were completely astonished. Well, I must say that it's putting it mildly, to say the least. The gospel says that Jesus told them not to tell anyone and then to get her something to eat. Just think about it. Not being able to tell anyone of what had just happened. The girl would have to go out into the room where the people were wringing their hands and mourning. Can you imagine their shock? All of a sudden, this young girl walks out and is going to get something to eat. The girl would have to go there, and to prove that she was really alive, Jesus wanted her to have something to eat. A sure sign, if you will, that a teenager is alive. After Jesus rose from the dead, he ate with the apostles to prove to them, beside the evidence of his hands and his feet, that he was alive. And when he was with those disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus sat and ate with them. And when he broke the bread, they realized it was Jesus himself. Eating was a sure sign of life. Now, Jesus had conquered the forces of nature, sickness, demons, physical disabilities, and now death. He would completely conquer death as well as sin on the cross at Calvary. But he had much more teaching to do before his arrest, his torture, the mockery of a trial, and murder. One of the apostles who was present that day at the home of Jairus was also present as an eyewitness of the other miracles. As a matter of fact, in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, he wrote, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. Now, the key word here is believing. It makes me think of the words to the Pharisee Nicodemus. And you know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The difference between life and death, it all comes down to believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus knows how difficult life is. After all, he walked in our shoes for 33 years and knew that by believing in him, the door to death is closed. The door to sin can be forgiven simply by believing. Jesus didn't perform miracles to prove his identity, but to reward people's faith. He told the woman with the bleeding issue that we talked about earlier, "Your faith has made you well." She struggled just to touch the hem of his garment. And when she did, Jesus felt the power go from out from him. And he said, "Who touched my clothes?" He knew, but he wanted her to say. And he said, "Woman, your faith has made you well." He also healed people to compassionately see that their needs were met. The man with the withered hand, the man with leprosy, the people, the man who was blind. My goodness, the list goes on. Well, how many people in this church today have been prayed for by me and by others and felt a sense of peace and of healing? And there's many here today that have experienced that, myself included. That's how much Jesus loves us. Remember the words that Jesus said to Jairus? I want to wind back the tape a little bit to where he said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Those are very important words for all of us today and in any circumstances. Words of faith and truth from the author of faith and truth. Don't be afraid, just believe. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.